And once you meet Tommy Porter, you find yourself in a beach. Why would you? He's absolutely in a minute. Mark chapter 5. And one verse that we kind of read about, or read fairly quickly, about the swine. And it says, and forthwith Jesus, in verse 13, gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000. When I read this verse, I can't help but think that God throws your sins in the sea of forgiveness and puts it based on the unsaved Fukushima. He remembers your sins. That's grace. I can't forgive my sins. I try to forget them. And when the devil consistently reminds me of what I've done, God consistently reminds me of this, the Lord Jesus. And so I'm grateful. But then comes verse 15, it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Remember what he was like. Remembering today. He was crying daily. He was cutting himself. He must have not had the most approachable appearance, so to speak. I mean, you must have looked at this guy and thought, I would never talk to this guy. You must have looked at him and said, he bore or had immeasurable pity in some way. Like, you look at him and say, this guy's going to die this way. Jesus knew more. And they looked at him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting. That in and of itself is a miracle. That he was sitting. That he had enough self-control just to sit down before the Savior. Sitting at the Master's feet. Man, what would I give just to see the look on his face? Just, I know the look. I just wanted to see it on his face. This. All of a sudden, not knowing how or why, I can't even explain it, but you just know that from here on forward, everything's going to be different. Because you're with him. Hello? I don't know how many years this man suffered in such shame. Shame. Everybody came, he didn't move an inch. They all saw him sitting at the Master's feet, fully clothed. That in and of itself must have been a shame. No shame. And in his night, he knew for the first time he had clarity, he had vision. And above all else, he acted. He was in front of Jesus. Well, that's going to be possibly happening. And they. Same as the disciples. Who is this? How can this guy be this way? And they saw it and told it befell that had possessed the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him. Can you imagine? Do me a favor, very. The greatest thing that ever happened in a graveyard. Was evicted. The greatest person that ever walked the face of this earth was told to leave this place. You know, no Jew would find themselves dead in a place like that. It was a tomb. It's a graveyard full of swine. And it's just like a double whammy. But Jesus broke all those barriers to reach one soul. Can you imagine how many souls this man reached? Aren't you the Could that be? Nah. Yeah, that's him.
All the souls he must have told to my and took people in the near Jesus Christ.
So I left you with Tommy. And so I met Tommy. At one point, God was working in both Lisa and them. So as I was giving Tommy the hardest time of his life for 8 years, there was this one guy named Michael who also worked in radiology. My wife was a radiologic technician. She did X-ray in the hospital. He was saying, and he was telling us, listen, it doesn't matter if you feed the homeless of the world. It doesn't matter if you cure cancer or AIDS, which was a big thing. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't go to heaven. And my wife, you know, being who she is, kind of lost in there. I'm good to my husband. I'm good to my family. I'm a good person. And I can't go to heaven. And he said, you misunderstood me. That's not what I said. That's what God said. And he showed her Ephesians chapter 2. Gave her a Bible, a small little commentary called Easy. It was the New Living Translation. That's what it was. Anyway, so he gave her this thing to take home to read it. And so she got home and she said, you know, maybe we should start going to church. I was like, hey, look, kind of guy, and I'm driving you there. And then I'll pick you up when it's so sitting. And so I picked up the book that she had to see what cult she was getting herself into. And so I started reading this, and it's free lunch. I read it. You know, you got to do this and that, believe this, believe that, say this prayer that they have word for word down there. You say this prayer, you can say. I said, for nothing. No 15% to the church, no Mecca, no marching, no something, nothing. That's free lunch. In New York City, we don't believe in free lunch. It doesn't happen. Somebody's got to pay the piper somewhere down this road. And so they're not telling us something. That's how they get you. They sell you this free, you know, like the brother said this morning, it costs somebody something. That's what I didn't understand. Christ is paid for. So I read this book, God's Word Made Easy. And you know, she kind of forgot about it. Well, she didn't tell me anything. She might have not forgotten, but she didn't tell me anything more about it. I just could not get this message of the gospel out of my head. And I was in the shop just, you know, just thinking about this little book. And who walks in the shop? Such a peanut. You find me, I dug myself in the graveyard in Pittsburgh. He would still find me. And so he walks right in, so he walks right in the door. And he starts fidgeting with his HVAC control computer stuff. And all I can think about is the only person that I can ask in this planet about this little book is this guy. But if I ask him, he's not going to stop bothering. It's as it is. And I was the most horrible person in the planet. And he just, you know, what was it with this guy? He just couldn't get enough of me. And so I mustered up a little courage. And I just kind of looked this way and I was like, hey, tell me, what is this religion that you're in? And he said, I don't even be religion. And so, you know, my things were in this thing. But he comes up to me and he says, it's not so much what he said, it was the look on his face. I tried to let it translate to me. I tried to get somewhere where he wanted to be. He wanted what he had in those eyes at that minute. I wanted it so bad. And he said, I don't have a religion.
I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So what are you talking about? You're dating God? He said something like that, not quite, but let me explain it. And so he took me out to lunch. He gave me the gospel from A to Z. He gave me a book by Billy Graham called Peace with God. And I told him, listen, I'm going to read the book. He gave me some hardcover Bible, an NIV. Like I said, the noise is perfect. So he gave me an NIV. And I said, listen, I'm going to read it. I'm going to look at this. I didn't want you calling me. I didn't want you knocking on my door saying good morning. I don't want you following me and joining me for lunch or any of that stuff. Just let me read. Let me think. And if I got any questions, I'll get back to you. You know, that man was very faithful. If I was walking the hallway and he was coming that way, he would go the other way. If I was eating on the triple table, he'd lunch on another table. If I was talking to somebody, he would come into that conversation. He was faithful. And I read the book by Billy Graham called Peace with God. Man, Billy just had a way of explaining things, you know? It's like he was in the room with you while you were reading the book, you know? It was crazy. And so it's just, he explained what a sinner was. And what hope is, and what the gospel is, and that anybody can get saved. And I remember in 1998, in the middle of my life, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not a charismatic guy. I'm like literally the poster child of anti-charismatics. I'm not a charismatic guy anymore. But I knew at that second, while my life was in total turmoil and chaos, that everything was going to be. I had a peace that I could not explain. Many of you know that peace. And I knew that everything was going to be okay. I went to work the next day, and I wasn't at work for more than 30 minutes. And everybody knew there was something kind of strange and weird. I wasn't angry, I wasn't picking fights. I was the dispatcher, so I kind of, you know, I built this computer system back then in C++. And so it dispatched work throughout engineering. And so everybody that got work was because of me. So you imagine, you know, they would come to me, why are you giving me this job? Why are you giving me that job? And, you know, that was like, you know, because I don't like it. Simple as that. Earn your money. And so there was a lot of fistfights in that shop. We were good. That's just me. This time, there was this peace, this is an argument. And I didn't say the things that I wanted to say. There was a new sort of self-control in my life at that moment. And then I started reading. I went through the New Testament first, and I started reading the book of Acts. And I was reading about this character named Saul. And Saul was leading Christians to their death. And I kind of stopped and I was arguing with God. I'm just like, and I'm arguing with God, saying, God, I don't understand this. What are you doing to me? This guy is killing your people. I mean, you're God. You could just whack this guy. You'd be all right. I mean, you're God. You can do whatever you want to do. You know, you'll be all right. You're righteous and all this. Just get rid of this guy. And so eventually Saul did die. And so I kept reading. And I wrote the chapter. And then realized that it's because I read all the epistles of Paul at first. I love him. He was a tough guy. You couldn't keep him down. You couldn't kill him. He would just keep on and keep on. He would just never stop. No matter what he did, you could not stop Paul from preaching the gospel. And I loved that character. And you can imagine when I was thinking about Saul, and then when I found out that Saul was in Paul, first time, this guy can be saved. He just started crying in the middle of the ship where he's got these fist fights. And all of a sudden, I just started bawling. Hey,
He wants it. He told me, you just only have souls for 6 months. And I say, you're freaking me out right now. How do you know there? He goes, well, you're going to check the money and have it to me. So, from there, me and Tom are inseparable. So many people say, you know, how did you grow so fast? I mean, it was a month thereafter, you know, just witnessing gospel meetings and people that were being discipleship. It wasn't a full gospel preaching. Tommy gave me the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And Tommy purposed in his heart that he was going to disciple me. And as I was getting discipled, and as I was reading, I was a new believer, we're talking weeks in, remember that I don't know when it's like. Every single day since I was 14 to the age that I got saved at 28, I was high on cocaine. But now, I'm saved and I'm sniffing cocaine. And may I suggest to you, it wasn't the same. I was literally crying, knowing that Jesus Christ was right there watching me. And my tears would ruin the stash. As I'm crying, it would just ruin the joints. And then, one day, 2 weeks after I got saved, and you know that this seems like nothing to you, but you gotta understand, every day for 14 years, and now one day, we didn't do drugs the whole day. And I just couldn't believe what was happening. Like, everything smelled different, looked different, sounded different. And I knew there was something working inside of me more powerful than I could ever imagine. The next day, I found. A week after that, 2 days. Week after that, 4 days, then five, then six. I started marking those days on my calendar one by one until there were 30 straight days where I never touched cocaine. I threw away my calendar and I embraced the Word of God. And He saved my entire life, not just saved me from cocaine. He enhanced my marriage. I didn't even know what marriage was before Jesus. It caused a lot of pain too. People lost so much because of me. It's not a day when I don't see those faces. But every single day, Jesus reminds me of the chips. I share that grace to every ear that would give me a moment. Knowing that the minute they embrace Jesus Christ, it will change the entire trajectory of their lives. My marriage, my life with my children, my career. I mean, God gave me opportunities that, listen, before Jesus, I was sleeping in a park sometimes. It's, where I am today, by His grace, by His power. And that's why, as Brother Steve says, I tear. I can't believe I'm saved. I mean, to this day, I just can't believe it. That I am the child of the living God. That I am a Christian called by His name. That Jesus took my sins upon that cross. It's,
To me, the breaking of bread is not some kind of ritual that they do in the assemblies. It's just a reminder every single first day of the week, the grandness of the love of Christ. Take his if the grace of Jesus Christ that you can save doesn't cause you to hear, perhaps it doesn't really hit hard at the heart, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You need to get wrecked before you get lit. It can never ruin. The grace of Jesus Christ can never ruin. The only time it really does, and I've seen it in film, is when sin becomes to be ruined. That's in my testimony, not to glorify my past, but to have you celebrate with me my future in Christ Jesus. When it's all said and done here, I will take you forever. It's it never stops. The gift that never stops. The more you obey, the more there is to celebrate every single day. It's all written, right? We don't have to think of it ourselves. We don't have to invent things ourselves. Just do what God tells you to do. And you live young. Even in the midst of adversity and turmoil, there will be joy. That's what Jesus says. Consider it all joy. When you fall into various trials, no, but that's insanity in the sense. Heavenly Father, come before you today. We're thinking about the salvation of your Son, Lord Jesus. Let me pray, Lord Jesus, if there is a heart here that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would realize that you are a miracle-making, life-changing God. When we put our faith and trust in you, it is no more a self-help situation. It is not a man-helping man situation. It is not a self-help book reading situation. It is a miraculous God situation. And you not only take away all our sins, you not only get rid of the old man, but you create in us a new one, a new life in Jesus Christ. New friends, new fellowship, new family, a hope that will always endure, even in the worst of times after I got saved. It was always Jesus. And so thank you for the opportunities that you give us every single day, for the hope that we have, something that the world cannot take away. And we never found it to begin with, and so then we could never lose it. It was you who saved us. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.